So we continue our series, Six Stone Jars, The Economy of Jesus. And today, it's the blessedness of God. When I served as a youth leader in a church, I accompanied youth on mission trips or to youth conferences or camps. And at the end of the day, the youth would gather together for conversation, an opportunity to unwind a bit and debrief their experiences as a group. Everyone would share about their day, maybe share like one positive thing that happened and one challenging thing that happened. I remember one person calling that time sharing roses and thorns, right? And that brings the reminder that even within the same flower, there is beauty to behold, as well as prickly things that might take you by surprise. In today's gospel verses, we find a short series of roses and thorns as described by Jesus to his disciples and the crowd who gathered around. Luke describes them as blessings and woes, and they're part of a lengthy sermon known as the Sermon on the Plain that is paralleled in Matthew's gospel as a Sermon on the Mount. First, the blessings or roses are identified. And they are the poor, the hungry, the weeping, those who are excluded and persecuted. Seems like really odd blessings, right? Yeah. Not quite the typical blessings that we would think of. So often we associate the word blessings with what? Happiness or good fortune. But in the Greek, the word makarios holds a deeper meaning than just happy or blissful. It is a word more closely connected to the first century sense of unity with God in an eternal sense, relating to righteousness and being in right relationship with our Creator. To be blessed meant living in a keen awareness of the presence of God. It is not to be free from struggle, but to be oriented towards a reality where God's realm is realized. In each of these blessings, the struggle comes with a promise of reversal. The hungry will be filled. The weeping will give way to laughter. But before we delve into the scripture passage, let's look at its backdrop. In the verses just before today's passage, Jesus had been up on a mountain praying all night. And when the sun comes up, he calls together 12 of his followers and he makes them apostles. Then he comes down to a level place and starts to teach. And in verse 17, it tells us this. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. People are gathering from all over the place to come hear Jesus. They're coming from as far away as Jerusalem in the south and Tyre and Sidon on the Mediterranean coast. Several days worth of walking have brought Jews and Gentiles alike to listen to Jesus teach. And notice that Jesus didn't try to get away from the crowd by getting into a boat this time. He's done that before. Jesus is right in the middle of the crowd, sending out healing power to everyone within reach. And Jesus didn't seem to care who is Jewish and who is not. He heals all of them while standing on level ground. Jesus is standing here on level ground, revealing the glory of God to us in our broken, leveled world. Jesus is here offering to make our rough places plain, just as he stood on that Galilean level place, sending healing into the crowds around him, describing the blessings and the woes that will inevitably come as the kingdom of God is made real. He continues in verse 20. Then he looked up his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated their prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Now, after reading all of this, doesn't it seem that Jesus has some things backwards? Right? Shouldn't riches, food, and prestige be good for us? But Jesus says these things are the source of woe. And when these same things are scarce, we are blessed. It just seems to go against everything we believe, everything that the world believes. But let's take a deeper look at these blessings and woes. So what do all the blessings have in common? If you think about it, they all share the kind of poverty that depends completely on God. And what do all the woes have in common? Seeking our own satisfaction. Thus, we are blessed when we are God-centered, regardless of our earthly circumstances, and we find woe whenever we are self-centered. When Jesus blesses the poor and the hungry, the sorrowful and the ridiculed, he isn't saying that we should all aspire to poverty and hunger, sorrow, and being verbally abused. What he's saying is that God is present with us even when the world has abandoned us. That God loves us even when everyone else hates us. We find blessing in seeking God, being hungry for God, and loving the people God loves. When Jesus announces woes to those who are rich, who eat well and enjoy fame and admiration from people, he isn't saying that wealth, good food, and popularity are bad things. What he's saying is that when we focus on satisfying our own appetites, we turn our attention away from God and become self-centered. And our self-centeredness will be our spiritual doom. When we seek God, we feel the pain and sorrow God feels for people who are hurting. We stand up for injustice. We affirm that every human being is worthy of love in God's sight. When we are hungry for God, we want the things God wants. And God wants every person on earth to know and love him. Jesus isn't commanding you to work at being poor so you can receive blessings. Jesus is stating how things are and how things will be in the kingdom of God. The things we value in this world have no value in God's economy. In God's economy, the only thing that has value is grace, God's amazing grace. God's economy levels the playing field for everyone, and quite often, that is not comfortable for us. Because whether or not we want to admit it, we often prefer the way the world elevates some and devalues others. When we are on top looking down, the view is pretty good, looks pretty sweet. The vistas are clear. Nothing stands in the way of what we want to see. Yet we have to realize that the top of a mountain can be a very lonely place. But we don't much like being at the bottom of the heap looking up either, which leaves us only the level plain. And when that makes us, and even that can make us uncomfortable, because it reminds us of how much we don't feel worthy to be on the same level as others. As soon as we start to see ourselves on the same level, what do? We start to wonder, well, where should I cast my gaze? Should I look up? Should I look down? Why is it so hard to look sideways, to look around us, beside us, in front of us? And that brings us back to verse 20. Then he, Jesus, looked at his disciples and said, this is why why I think Jesus was on the level place down by the lake. People were sitting on a hillside where they could all see him, and he could see them. He made eye contact. From the level plain, Jesus stands looking at us in the eye. God sees you. That's what that says. God sees you, whether you are rich or poor. God names your poverty and your wealth for what it is. Jesus isn't encouraging you to get rich or become poor. Jesus is inviting you to put everything at his disposal and follow him. He sees you, the real you, not the good face you put on so others will think well of you. God sees you and will stand with you on the level place. When it's hard to see, when things are going south for you, when you are experiencing the kind of suffering and hardship that happens on the level places of life, Jesus is standing there with you, sending healing powers your way. God sees you and wants to bless you. There isn't anything you can do to change that. Nothing you can do makes God love you less, and nothing you can do will make God love you more. God just loves you. God won't give up on you. God's blessing is for you, whether you come from Holy Jerusalem or from the pagan coastlines of Tyre and Sidon, whether you've been a Christian all your life or are seeking Jesus to make you whole. Jesus pronounces God's blessing on you. This doesn't mean you won't struggle, but it does mean you can live through whatever struggle life brings you, knowing that God is with you and your reward is great in heaven. Throughout Luke's gospel, the emphasis is on God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus stands on a level plane with us, showing us God's kingdom in the middle of our chaos, in the middle of our need for healing. The only question is whether we will reject such amazing grace or be willing to stand on that level place with Jesus and receive God's blessings to be Jesus in a needy world. And the way for us to be Jesus in a needy world is that once we receive God's blessing, we in turn turn around, go, and bless the world with God's blessing. So I remember once when there was a national tragedy. You know, guys, remember Mr. Rogers? Mm-hmm. Fred Rogers, who was an ordained Presbyterian minister. He told kids that when something bad happens, look for the helpers. And he said this: when I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. You can always find goodness even in bad times, because there are always helpers. God has blessed the world with people who care, people who are blessed to be a blessing. God is still present and active today. And these blessings and woes remind us to treat everyone we meet as honored of God, especially those who may not look or feel blessed at all. God works through us, through you and me, through people who care about what God cares about. Faith makes people reach out and do something. I think about the REST program. Remember, Regional Emergency Shelter Team. And how we as a congregation were able to provide them warm and hearty meat dinners for the homeless guests in February. Now, it may not seem much, but we not only gave them a meal, nourishment, they had a warm place to stay, but we also offered compassion and relationship. We got to know their stories when we sat down and chatted with them. We saw the guests as honored and valued of God, not as those unworthy or beneath us. God is a God of blessedness. And God blesses us to become to be a blessing to others. Let our response to what we see in the world remind us that we are part of God's kingdom here on earth. Let us be helpers, showing God's love and care through our words and actions. Let us treat all people as honored, valued, and beloved of God. Let us live our lives shining God's blessedness so that all will come to know and love God and be part of God's kingdom. For it's good to be blessed. It's better to be a blessing. I love that. So go in God's blessedness and be a blessing to others.